Welcome to Ask Lynn. If I don't have a fight with technology, that would be great, because I don't want to fight with technology, nor with health insurance, which are my two battles this morning. But enough of my battles. We're going to carry on this interview with Grace and Style. And with me this morning, I have Jerry with me. And Jerry's going to take it away and tell us more about who she is and what she does.
Thanks, Lynn. I'm Jerry Williams. I'm a retired FBI agent, and I joke that I'm reliving my glory days by writing crime fiction about greed and hosting FBI Retired Case File Review, a true crime and history podcast featuring interviews with my former FBI colleagues.
So I know how I got introduced to you, Jay, because I heard you on Eric Hunley's podcast, Unstructured, and I said, ooh, this ought to be an interesting interview, and it turned out that you did a very good job. So I reached out to you, so that's how we got connected. We got connected due to my ears.
Well, great. Yeah, I enjoyed talking with Eric on Unstructured. I think it's a fantastic podcast, and I listen to it all the time now.
He does a great job. He's interviewed me, and he just does a great job of interviewing people, and he did a great job with me. He did a great job with you, and that's how we got connected. So for anonymity purposes, I won't have you put the names in your cases, but what has been your favorite case you have worked on, or the most interesting case, I should say?
Well, I think one of the most interesting cases I worked on was one that was called New Era Philanthropy. And that's the one that I just fictionalized in my latest crime novel, which is called Greedy Givers. This was a charity Ponzi scheme where the person responsible was running a Ponzi scheme involving nonprofits and charities. It was really very interesting and still perplexing to this day why he did it.
Yeah, that would be perplexing to me, too. I'm like, you pick a charity and do Ponzi scheme on them? Geez, I heard everything under the sun, but not that. And so what did you have to do in that case? You can give me the minimal information there, because I'm sure that you don't want to spill the beans. But what can you do in that case?
Well, in all the cases I worked, so as an FBI agent, my specialty was economic crime. So I did things, I investigated crimes like Ponzi schemes, advance fee schemes, and business-to-business telemarketing fraud, embezzlements from companies, anything that had to do with economics and finances and crime. You know, that was the thing that I investigated. And so in this particular case, it's basically getting the evidence, you know, talking to people, interviewing people who are victims, and also gathering the financial documents in order to prove that a fraud occurred. It really is fascinating.
Oh, my God. You must have had a very interesting career. And now you have a podcast, don't you? You not only now write crime and other, you said to Aaron Hunley of Unstruction that you have a podcast too. And so how is it being a podcaster doing this niche-y podcast?
Yeah, it definitely is a niche podcast, because I only interview retired FBI agents. And, you know, many of them are friends of mine that I've worked with over the years, but most of them are people that I reach out to. I'm lucky as a retired agent. I'm a member of the Society of Former Special Agents of the FBI. I have access to the directory, so I can go through the directory and look for particular agents and then reach out to them and say, you know, would you like to share your case review with the public? One of the things I want to make sure that I talk about is that initially I started the podcast because I was trying to find a way to build a platform so people could know me, could know my authority.
Yeah.
So when they could see my crime novel, they would say, okay, this crime novel should be good because it's about a female special agent with the FBI, and it's written by a female special agent with the FBI. But what happened,
yeah,
and I'm sure you remember this, that is that in the fall of 2016, during the elections, the FBI was pulled into the political, very volatile political climate, and people started making negative comments about the FBI's integrity and independence, and that made me
angry.
I do remember that,
and I'm like, oh my God, the FBI is doing the best job in the world. Stop it, you guys. And also on my end, me being a journalist, a certain person is also making fun of journalism. Thank you very much. That certain person made me go back to journalism school, but that's not a long story in itself. But because he made fun of a reporter with terrible lobby. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, yeah, no, this doesn't fly. And you were probably sitting there watching the FBI get made a mockery of, and you're probably thinking, no, this didn't fly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we were both having that same reaction. And,
yeah,
again, I had already been doing my podcast. I had been doing it for about 10 months when all of that happened. But then it became more than just an opportunity to market my books. It became a mission. It became a mission for me to show the public who the FBI really is and what the FBI does. And now I do that. That is my goal. That is my mission. That is my focus. And I do it through, again, writing my own books and through the personal recollections and case reviews from other agents who have served in the FBI. And it really has taken off. People are fascinated by the FBI. And to hear these personal details about cases that they know about and fascinating cases that some people have never even heard about, listening to that case agent tell exactly what happened and how they did it and why they did it is pretty fascinating. It's fascinating for me to listen to.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, but I would think you have connection to this case, and because I think I remember you mentioning on Air Conley's Unstructured interview with you this case. Do you know anything about Ted Bundy? And the reason why I'm asking about that is this case happened in the 90s, and Ted Bundy actually jumped out the Pickens County Jail window where I am, and I'm 5 minutes away from the Pickens County Jail. So we had a killer on the loose, and I believe Ted Bundy was being chased by the FBI, of course he was, because he did some icky things, let's just put it that way. So have you talked about the Ted Bundy case, or am I just making things up?
Ted Bundy is not one of the cases that I have talked with the case agent about. In that particular case,
okay.
Ted Bundy would have been looked at by the FBI, I think, as a fugitive when he was, you know, when
yeah.
he escaped from justice.
Yeah.
So it would have been an unlawful flight to avoid prosecution warrant that we would have been looking at Ted Bundy for. But I haven't interviewed anybody about that, but I have done an episode on Jeffrey Dahmer that is probably one of my most popular episodes People are really curious about Jeffrey Dahmer.
See, that one I haven't heard about, but I am curious about the Ted Bundy case only because I know about, geez, and it's scary when you hear a person, a fugitive, jumping from a window and jumping into snow and running from law. Geez.
Yeah, absolutely. That's he really wanted to get away, didn't he?
He just really wanted to get away, and I haven't heard of anything since. And it's like, really, this is how you do it? You jump out of the Pickens County jail window, and you just run away. And people with that persona do, and so. Jerry, I hate to be the idiot here, but I want to make it clear. What do you want to make clear to the public, both on Eric Connolly's Instruction podcast and on Ask Wynn, that people should know about the FBI?
Well, I think they need to know that the FBI investigates more than 200 types of violations. And it's interesting that you brought up Ted Bundy, because a lot of times when you read books about the FBI or you're watching movies about the FBI, it's usually about an FBI profiler chasing a serial killer. But that's probably less than 1% of what the FBI does. I mean, in most instances, you know, there are so many other things that we investigate. Organized crime, drugs, white-collar crime, political corruption, financial crimes, terrorism. There are just so many other things. And, I'm one of the people that are really trying to show the public all of those areas of investigation. So currently, tonight, I will be posting my 147th episode of FBI Retired Case File Review. So I've got 147 case reviews that if people were to listen to them, they'd get a really accurate idea of what the FBI investigates and how they operate.
Yeah, because I wanted to make that clear to people, because when you see the FBI in movies, you get a fictional aspect of it, and I wanted to ask Jerry that question. And because I wanted to, while I have Jerry on, I wanted to make her feel better about coming on publicly and explaining about what the FBI does, because she did. How many years did you do this, Jerry?
26. 26 years.
So now mm-hmm. we need to put the FBI and all your colleagues all across the country, worldwide, FBI is only in the United States, but worldwide, in a good
right.
light. Because after 26 years, you're sick and tired of all the misconstruedness of, yes, and I just made up a word, misconstruedness of how the FBI is portrayed in books and movies, and it gets annoying.
Yes, it can be. I mean, I'm one of those people that are, would watch a movie and I'd see, the FBI portrayed in some way and just really just get so annoyed. I would just like, that's not how it happens. That is not how it happens. As a matter of fact, that's the book that I'm writing now. I'm actually writing a nonfiction book called FBI in Film and Fiction. I say that it's a training manual for armchair detectives, and it's really for anybody who writes or reads or watches crime dramas about the FBI, or for people who are interested in becoming FBI agents. I'm going to go through 21 cliches and misconceptions, about the FBI, and then give the actual information about what really occurs.
Well, I'm going to keep people in suspense. No pun intended here. And I'm going to make them go listen to your podcast, because you are doing a fantastic job for all FBI agents out there. and thank you for your service. I know you don't get thanked a lot, and so I want to thank you for your service, and I'm going to make everyone go listen to your podcast and, of course, buy your books. And so where can people find you, Jay, and where can people find the podcast?
Yeah, so I have my website, jerriwilliams.com, and that's J-E-R-R-I, williams.com. And you can find my books on my website. You can access the podcast on my website, and you can also access my blog. And then there's a quick link for you to be able to listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts. I'm also on Spotify and Pandora and any podcast app that you can think of. FBI Retired Case File Review is there. I am excited. I have this weekend, I will definitely surpass 2 million downloads. So I've got a really great audience.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations on that. See, they're the exclusive last when I'm going to keep people in suspense that you get more downloads.
Oh, well, I would love that because, again, you know, of course I want people to listen to my podcast, but this is more than just listening because, you know, it's a podcast. It really is a mission. You know, come and meet the FBI agents. Come and learn about, you know, the things that we do. And, you know, it's all there for you. I've been doing this for, it will be 3 years in January. I'm going to continue to do it. It is definitely a vision of mine to, again, introduce the public through my books and through the podcast to the FBI.
Now, okay, how could a common woman like myself support you and support your work other than listening to your podcast? How, as common people, can we support the FBI and put them in good light and say, hey, this is not right? Can we do anything like that to help you and all your fellow colleagues?
Yeah, definitely there is. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine has just started a foundation where he is trying to get more people to help him fight against unfair and unsubstantiated attacks against the FBI. So I think the most powerful way that people can help the FBI is to learn the facts, is to really understand what we do. And, you know, if they do want to support the FBI in a more active way, then they can look at this foundation, which, unfortunately, I'm clicking through quickly through my social media trying to recall the name of the foundation, but it is definitely something that if people are interested in supporting, you know, on a financial basis and donating to the cause, that they could do that. You know, hopefully by the time we're done with this interview, I'll be able to share that basic information.
Well, always, you can always email my assistant, you guys, and Jay, you can do the same thing and just say, stick this in show notes. Wynn and I talked about this, and I need this to be stuck with my interview because I want to support the FBI the best I can. I know Eric wants to support what he can, and so with your help, Jay, we're putting the FBI in good light, and with my help in journalism, we're actually helping journalists too, along with the FBI, because we got the funny end of lollipop when the a certain person went into office. You guys, Jay and I, got our names put in mud. I got my disability put in mud, and Jay got all of the 1,000 colleagues put in mud. And it's like, nope, we don't want to be in mud anymore. So that's why Jerry and I are doing this.
Hey, Wayne, I found the name. The organization is It's called Protect the FBI, and it is the most important thing, and the reason I support it, it is nonpartisan. It is a nonpartisan movement to safeguard the FBI from partisan politics. And so if anybody's is interested in learning more about the organization, they could just look up either on Facebook, Protect the FBI, or just Google Protect the FBI and learn more about that nonpartisan movement and organization and created to safeguard the FBI. It's a really worthwhile cause.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Protect the FBI, we should do. And Jerry,
Mark Gillespie,
before I let you go, do you have any questions for me?
Well, I want to let you know, Wynn, that I knew who you were way before you reached out to me. And that's because I listened to Dave Jackson's show, the School of Podcasting, and you are a regular on there. And I love hearing from you.
I try to be, and I try not to be a pest either. I try to support the podcasting community the best I can.
Yeah, so I looked you up, and I heard you on there a number of times, and I said, "Well, who is this Gwen? And what is this, Ask Gwen show?" So I had looked you up and listened to a couple of your episodes way before you ever reached out to me. So it's fantastic to be able to talk to you in person.
It is fantastic to talk to you in person. And now I get to say I interviewed an ex-FBI agent, which the journalist community will be thrilled, because we need to stick together, the FBI and the journalists, not put our names in mud. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Jerry and I, and we'll have all of Jerry's information in the show notes. Thanks to you guys. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me. You really gone? Okay. Bye.
Hello? Bear, go upstairs.
The host has joined the conference.
Hello.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I am excited to talk to you about this and your niche podcast. And how this is going to work is I am going to, obviously, hit the record button. Obviously, introduce you and let you take it away, and I'll be asking you a couple baseline questions, and then I'll be asking you all about your podcast, and I want to know, do you do this for your day job?
Yeah, it's my full-time job. My wife runs the business end of things. We've been doing it this way as a full-time job since about 2010.
You're lucky. And so you're lucky. I still have the day job, which I am slowly trying to walk away from. But I will introduce you and let you take it away, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, so let's do this.